Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 3rd, 2014. I have a special guest in the studio with me today. He lives locally, but grew up in China. His name is Yu Chao, and I'll introduce him in just a minute. For those of you that missed yesterday's broadcast with Chris and Pam Chambers, there's a revolution going on in town, and you can hear all about it through the archive programs link at greatnewsradio.org. But if you know a 6th through 9th grader that'll be attending those grades in the fall, this revolution is coming to Savoy, specifically at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy on the corner of Prospect and Burwash Avenue, June 16th through the 20th, happening from 8:30 to 12:30, and it'll include a sports and performing arts camp. Find all about it at fbc-cs.org. Yu Chao, it's been great getting to know you these last few days, beginning with that international gathering at Hessel Park, where Holly invited me to join her, where a number of international students from literally the whole globe, I think 15 or so different countries were represented, from Brazil and South America to China to Iran and some other locations. And so we got to talk a little. In fact, what happened is I said to Holly, hey, do you know if any of these international students, because I know it was an outreach, maybe believers, because I'm looking for a special guest for Tuesday. I'm going to have Chris and Pam Chambers on Monday, but I need somebody for Tuesday. And she pointed over at you and said, Yu Chao has one. He's a relatively new believer, so get to talk to him. So I kind of sought after you. You're kind of wondering, why is this guy introducing himself? But you knew right away that I wanted to hear a little of your faith journey. And so we had another occasion to meet up and talk some. So let me introduce you to our radio listening family, and I'd like to have you walk us through some of your spiritual pilgrimage, because you grew up in the northeast part of China near the border of Russia, so you're familiar with cold climates, and so our winter time here isn't that foreign to you. But you grew up in a home, a loving mother and father. You knew your grandparents. They all loved on you, but your family didn't know Christ, right? You weren't following the Lord at that point.
Well, actually, my grandmom from my mom's side, she was a Christian.
Okay.
And she passed away while I was in the college.
Okay. Oh, so that may fit into a little of your story, your faith journey. Well, I know you're currently a research scientist. You're in the Department of Molecular Cellular Biology.
Yes.
Hard words for me to say. You're a research scientist, and your specialty is breast cancer research here at the University of Illinois. You've been here about 5 years. You attend Twin City Bible Church, fondly known by many people as TCBC. You're single. I'll point that out. There'll be a photo posted at greatnewsradio.org in our Facebook page. You got your PhD in biology in China, and as you'll take us through some of your journey, at one point you felt like you're going to come to the United States and further your learning, and you ended up at the University of Illinois working on a postdoc. But maybe for our listeners unfamiliar with China, unfamiliar with where you grew up, that northeast part, because when we're thinking, oh, China, humongous country, billion plus people, one of the superpowers of the world. But tell us a little of growing up and some of your aspirations. I guess now knowing that your grandmother was a Christian, was there some Christian influence? And what religion were you following as you were growing up?
While I was growing up, I did not follow any religions, actually. Although in my grandmom's house, I write a little bit some of the stories from the Old Testament. But during that time, I was only like 13 or 14 year old, and those stories were kind of hard for me to understand. So then I just gave up, you know, religious journey at that time. But I could see the change in my grandmom's temper. And she used to be a really fast-tempered person. And if she likes you, you can see it. If she doesn't like you, you can definitely see it. You know, that's her. But after she started to go to the church and to be associated with the Christian women at her age, she started to change. And she got softer and more tender, you know. And I still remember my mom. She was kind of surprised and amazed by the the change in her temper. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And so you would say you were growing up to learn school, to be proficient in a career. So what would be your aspirations if you're not living to please God? How were you kind of discerning what's good and best for you?
Well, you know, I was growing up among the generation which is after the one-child policy in China. So, yes, we love our country and we love our culture and we still believe in the communism a little bit, not that much as my parents' generation. But the most important thing, I guess, among our generation is to have a happy life. Then we thought maybe the only way to get the happy life is to earn enough money to get a good job, okay? And how to get a good job? Go to the best college. How to get the best college? The paperwork, the tests, the numerous tests we need to deal with, okay? So which really drives me work hard in the class to be the top student in the exam. Not in the sports, but just the exam, you know.
I know you were telling me how with the one-child policy, the tendency for many of the Chinese families are the mom and dad pour everything into their child.
Yes.
I mean, they're the favored son.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the grandparents kind of feed on that. They lavish you with gifts or time and resources.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they want the best for you. And really, it's everything for this one child.
Yeah.
And so you're pampered. You're treated like a king at home.
Uh-huh.
And yet when you go to school,
it's like a company. You are going to a company and everybody is competing in the company. You know, you really need to work hard to be tough in the class. Then you go home, you become superstar again. So that's the kind of contrast you will experience as a one-child policy product, you know, during that time.
Yeah, you said it's really hard on the temperament or disposition because here you're loved and cared for and honored, and yet you're just a number amongst many other people competing, and there's all that pressure.
Yeah.
And if you don't make it or you're not top in the class, you just kind of get left behind.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was something that you had to wrestle with and deal with. So you're pretty smart, you're proficient, you're maybe top of the class, you're growing, you're learning. And yet, didn't it come to a point where you're like, okay, is there more to life? Because you were studying biology, and it wasn't one of these things that you're going to make big bucks in, right?
Yes, yes. That's the reality of our field. I mean, even it is true in this country, not only in China. And plus, one difficult thing for biology is like, it's not like computer science or mathematics. It's really a subject you really need to learn what happens in those little cells which are created by God, of course. And although we call it molecular biology, but in reality, we really know very little about the cell, about the gene, why the cell turned to be bad, to be a tumor cell, you know. So we know very little, but we always want to find some theory from those kind of observations. And in the other way, I got high pressure from my PhD program. You need to get publications to get graduate, which means I got the pressure for publication. But a lot of experiments, I just failed to have any reasonable results to be published. So during those 5 years of a PhD program, I was really having a hard time, you know, in my career, I have to say.
And maybe to qualify that, anyone in biology would have that because of the vastness of the subject and the variety of the design.
I think because God's
behind it, it's so unmeasurable, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying everybody in the field will experience that, but I believe the majority of us will experience that kind of thing.
Especially without the concept that God's behind it all, creating this variety, this vastness, this unique design.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're kind of like struggling through this program. There's a lot of pressure. But then there's also the reality that you're not going to make maybe a lot of money to live that happy life. You don't have God like speaking into you. You're not leaning or resting in Him. Mm-hmm. And so what were your next decisions before you came to the United States and why you decided to come?
Well, as I told you that I got a hard time in my PhD program, and I also see that to be a PhD student in the biology, which will not make me a rich man, you know? So I got kind of disappointed, and this stressfulness and the disappointment I got really makes me to rethink about my life, rethink about the meaning of the life. Mm. And I got really lost in the end of my PhD program. Then I decided to give myself a new beginning in somewhere else. And then I think about the USA, America. Two reasons. First, for biology, the USA is a really leading country in the world. So that could be a new start for my biological researcher career. Second, in this country, I really know nobody, and nobody knows me. So even for my personal life, I can give me a new start. So these two reasons make me to think about the USA.
Okay, and now why Champaign-Urbana of all the places you could go?
Well, you know, I'm not a big city boy, and I don't want to spend 2 hours for the traffic in big city. So then I just decided to choose a small university town like this, you know, like.
And I think you got requests from New York or a couple different places.
Yeah, other big cities, but somehow I made the choice.
So here you are. You're coming to the United States. You don't know a single person. You're coming to the greater Champaign-Urbana area. At this point in your life, you're aware of this Christian God through your grandmother or maybe some stories that you heard, but you're not walking or praying or seeking him out. And so here you are in Champaign-Urbana. And I know, thank you, God, for individuals like Dave Craig and others that were modeling Christ, but tell us the next steps in your faith journey.
Well, actually, during the first night, I got here from the CMI airport. I went to the my previous apartment, and David Krebill, who is a really senior person in TCBC, he was helping my previous roommate to move out from that apartment. And he saw me standing there, you know, holding my luggage, my cases. And he asked me, hey, do you know anything about the Bible? I even don't know what is the meaning of Bible.
And he said that was one of the first things he says?
Yeah, yeah. And I was, what did he say? Excuse me. And then he explained what is the Bible. And then I realized, oh, that is the book my grandmom used to read. I said, okay, because I think it's kind of an American cultural thing. Because in the Hollywood movies I watched in China, people always say, oh, my God, oh, Jesus Christ. Of course, they should not say that, but it gave me some impression that this is kind of a Christian country, okay? Mm-hmm. I think, well, it might be a very good chance for me to see the American culture, to go to his house for the Bible study there. So that's how I started.
And you said what was unique about Dave Krebill and then maybe some of the other Christians, you started observing them and saying to yourself, gosh, there's something different about them. So take us through some of that. Was it reading the Bible also? When did you kind of have your aha moments? And I know it took a period of time.
Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing I have to say is that I remember the first time I went to David Krebill's house, it was late autumn. The weather was kind of cold, and everybody was taking the jacket or the coat. So he just let us to took off the jackets and leave all the stuff on the bed of the bedroom. Okay, so that's the major bedroom of the house. So I was really surprised because I thought, well, the bedroom should be a very personal room, space. And if I were him, I don't think I would let any stranger from China to go to my bedroom and leave stuff over there. So that's one thing really impressed me. I mean, the trust to the strangers and the warm kind of greetings, you know, from him really impressed me, you know. That's one thing.
I think that's just so unique and important for our listeners to understand. It's something as simple as inviting maybe an international student or, for this matter, a stranger into your home and just welcoming them, treating them like family, if you will, or, you know, saying, hey, yeah, put your coat in the bedroom. I don't think many of us would ever think about that, but that had a huge impact on you. You started thinking, wow, I would never do that.
I feel like to be trusted, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then what developed through that relationship? And maybe did they start opening up the Bible that very first night?
Yes, because it was a Bible study.
Okay.
And I think it was really close to the Thanksgiving. And we were learning the book of Luke. And it was close to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And then I started to read the Bible carefully because I figured out that this man, Jesus, he was so popular among the people. And of course, he was also challenged by those Pharisees, the religious leaders. Yet he seems to be very, very different from the leaders, those big heroes I used to know in the history, you know. He got to be somebody really different. And those kind of thoughts really makes me to think about seriously. And I start to open the dictionary to learn how to pronounce those Jewish names and the name of those places, you know. Because they are totally new things for me, you know. I was not grown up in any kind of Bible reading culture at all, you know.
I know so many times we can take for granted, like the legacy that our parents or grandparents or most every American has one or two or a number of Bibles in different rooms of their house or have heard the biblical narrative or part of the Christmas story or the Easter story and so are very familiar. Now, we're becoming a post-Christian country, but for many years, most everyone, even in school, you knew about the Psalms or the Proverbs of Solomon or, you know, the story of David. So we're very familiar with many of the Bible stories, but here you are for the first time, if you will, starting to learn, read on your own. What was then the progression? Did you feel, I don't know if you knew some of the terminologies, like maybe the Holy Spirit was starting to open your mind or heart or bring in conviction from the scriptures, or was it just the modeling that people were doing that were helping you say, boy, this Jesus is not only different, but he really could be God in the flesh? I mean, how did those thoughts start coming together?
I think there are two aspects. The first aspect is the things I'm learning and listening from the Bible, from the church, because Dave also brought me to TCBC, and I listened to the sermon from the pastor, Shannon. And those kind of things really build up my biblical knowledges, and I start to understand the meaning of the gospel, the core of the gospel, and that Jesus brought the salvation from God, and he is the way to go there, things like that. And I will call those kind of things kind of theory aspect, okay? But in reality, he brought me to his Bible study, and I became interested in the Bible by myself. I mean, but he still continued to make friendship with me. Okay, we personally meet maybe one time every week, and he just talked to me a lot, asking me about my personal life, how are you doing in your research, things like that. And he even encouraged me to learn how to drive here, and he even showed me how to drive using his own car.
Yeah, I think you mentioned like even allowing you to drive his car.
Yes,
like,
at the beginning I don't have the car, and he just brought his car, you know, to teach me how to drive. You know.
There's a concept in the Christian circles or terminology called lifestyle evangelism, where you're living it out, like through loving, through exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And it looks like God was using Dave, but yet he was also, maybe as you look back, maybe those points of discouragement or where you were overwhelmed with the pressure, he was kind of just waiting for you to come to grips with that you needed something, that to live that happy life wasn't just making money. It was seeking after that relationship with Jesus that you didn't know about. And then through David, through the preaching by Pastor Shannon and maybe other speakers at Twin City Bible Church. And so was there a defining point where you were reading and you just said, wow, this Jesus is not only incredible, but he is the Savior of the world, and I want to ask him into my heart?
Yeah. I still remember they prayed for me so that the Lord will open my heart and the Holy Spirit will come into my heart. They prayed for me, and also from my side, I remember during those days, I just cannot stop listening to the Christian music and reading the Bibles. And I got so much involved in the Bible study. And as my biblical knowledge accumulates, I think I know him more and more. And that I think, well, I used to be lost, and it was so painful. Now I think I hold the things which cannot turn bad and which I can really rely on. And also the conception for relying on him, not myself, really released me a lot.
Yeah, and for somebody in this country without friends, now you have that constant companion, the Holy Spirit living and abiding in you. And I'm going to ask our listeners to be praying up Yu Chao. Who knows that God won't help him to find some breast cancer research that will help the masses in the days ahead, or through his research as a research scientist here at the U of I, as he's trying to make inroads into breast cancer. And I know many of our listeners have experienced cancer themselves, and some of our friends are going through various treatments, that you may be used of God to find that key component, or through some molecular, cellular biology, be able to discern some ways of treating that, or a unique way of bringing about healing, or some of the research that you do to further the research that's needed to cure people with cancer. But I'd ask our listeners to be praying you up. And I also think what's so wonderful about your story is that somebody like Dave Krehbiel, doing some simple things, reaching out, asking you a simple question, do you know about the Bible, inviting you into his home, and then continuing to have an ongoing relationship, meeting with you weekly, showing you how to drive, maybe taking you to the store, showing you around town, and how all that was used of God to draw you closer to him. So thank you so much for coming out to the home studio and being available for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I know our listeners are prayer warriors, so as you think of China or you think of Yu Chao, be praying up how God will continue to foster that relationship with him, and also with his research here at the U of I, as he's studying best ways to treat cancer, be focusing on breast cancer in particular, right? Well, thank you for being available and coming out and braving the morning program with me.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.